voicemail. That's two F's for voicemail.
From beyond any known galaxy, bringing with them the laws and ideals of their doomed planet, Thundera, come...
Thundercats. Ho.
Welcome, everybody, to the 45th episode of the Thundercats, the podcast for friend feeders, with friend feeders, and by friend feeders. I'm Josh Haley from Houston, Texas.
And I'm Johnny Worthington from Brisbane, Australia.
And we are the Thundercats. Ho! Rock on, my brother.
Rock, rock, rock!
From another mother. We are joined today by a special guest, a friend feeder that you probably all know and who has contributed much in the way of coding and making friend feed fun and useful.
Do we dare say that Thundercats is becoming a little scripty and junk?
I do dare say. Everybody, please welcome Micah Whitman.
Hello, friend feed.
Can I get a ho?
Hello.
Ho.
Ho.
That will do. That's the best you could do, huh?
I got to save up something.
Oh, okay.
For all the friend feeders.
Drink some more. We'll try
really,
again
honestly,
in an
hour. I'm excited. I'm already talking over Josh, but I'm excited to be here and be talking to friend feeders instead of just using text, and this is cool.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for joining us, and we're going to have a good time.
Let's do it.
Mm.
So first off, Johnny, if I may, how was your week?
Yes. It was okay. It was good. I'm shaving the beard off.
Yep.
So in, I think, 2 weeks after this, the 11th your time, 12th my time was September, I'm shaving the beard off, and I've got a blog post earlier in the week. I'm raising money on behalf of Blame Drew's Cancer for the Livestrong Lance Armstrong Foundation, and I'll make another post about it there. But it's time for the beard and I to sort of part ways for a couple of weeks. It just has to happen. Long, varied reasons, probably three or four different reasons. And I thought, well, I'll give the beard its epic dues, and if I'm going to shave it off, I might as well do something useful and raise some money.
Epic dues, I like that. Like you are epically indebted to your beard.
I am bound. Well, seriously, I've been thinking about it the past couple of days, and Rachel agrees with me. The beard is more popular than I am.
Well, Johnny, how long? I'm interrupting, but how long have you been working on this beard here?
March 13th.
Okay.
That's a while. That's a good while.
Yeah.
Yes. And, yeah, it's just, it's time. It's time. It's got to go. Let's do something to honor it. And, yeah.
You're going to write a eulogy and everything?
I'm going to write one. I'll probably DM it to my beard because it's got its own friend feed account, which is friendfeed.com/Johnny's beard. And, but we're going to shave it live on the show.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes through the power of audio podcast, grasping the concept of actually shaving off a beard and visually representing that, but we will work on that.
Very cool, very cool. All for charity. Good times.
Nice.
Micah, how was your week?
It wasn't a bad week. It was, well, you know, what I'm really excited about is last night I got to play Risk with some buddies, and hadn't done that in a long time, and I wiped them out, so feeling pretty good about that because I usually lose in a big, big way. So
nice.
Yeah, 4 hours later, that was my life.
I remember. You remember we in the Mac lab. Our school had some old Mac labs, and I think they had Mac 2s or something like that. And we one of the guys actually wrote a Risk program. One of the kids, you know, at age 14, he could sit down at a computer and change the entire computer in like an hour. He's one of those guys who just knows everything. And he wrote a Risk program, and we used to play it on the computers during study hall. It's awesome.
That's nice. Yeah, Risk is one of those games a lot of people use as their first, you know, project to program a board style game.
Mm.
Oh, it's cool. Speaking of games, a favorite, I think there was a post months back now, but about Settlers of Catan, and that's probably over the last decade the biggest game I got hooked on. You know, Risk is great too, but like it's
Catan is in the home of Prince Shaddam, the Emperor of the Known Universe. Dune? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's not related to the Dune series.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. Are there a bunch of games that are Dune related? I have no idea on that.
Sure.
Wow.
But I mean, you said Kaitan, no. And I was like, you know,
that's his planet. It's a little buggy that drives across the moon, and you jump over the craters. That one. That's Dune,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's yeah. It's kind of like that. This is a game started in Germany. I'm not sure how long ago now, and was a huge hit there, and then it seeped over into North America and other places, and it became, I don't know, Game of the Year, and you could only find it in like Dungeons and Dragons stores at first, and then now it's you know in Toys R Us. So
nice. Oh, Jinx. Never mind, Johnny.
What about you, sir? How was your week?
Busy. You know, I worked a lot, and that was about it. We're kind of getting ready for the whole homeschool thing, which starts next week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stay away from Trish because, you know, she's busy getting everything prepared and you don't want to get in her way when she's
Do you have to address her as Miss Haley?
No, I think that's one of the benefits from homeschooling is you get to get away from all that okay. Formality. But I did mention
to the kids today.
No, well, well, yeah, I have. Maybe she'll impose that on me. I don't know, but I did tell the kids today that if they get out of line, they get sent to the principal's office, and you know, principal's right here.
Oh, nice.
So I think they'll be just fine because they don't have to, you know, suffer the wrath of Khan over here.
I got your principal right here.
What could possibly happen in the principal's office?
Well, they'll never make it there, so it doesn't really exist. It's just one of those things.
It's a threat.
Yeah, it's a threat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can I throw a spanner in your works? if Trish sends them to the principal's office, which is you, what do you do if you need to call in the parents?
Yeah, where's the PTA? And what about, you know, the parent-teacher conference? It's a good point.
You just need to get two mirrors and sit them on a chair, and you look at your reflection and go, you know, it's you.
Or maybe the kids will have to just lawyer up, you know? They'll look at an ad that says, OMG, arrested? OMG, text me. I'll represent you. You like that?
Represent
that post from today. Oh my gosh. Oh. OMG, I'm arrested. But anyway, pleasantries aside, we got a lot of topics to discuss, and mm-hmm. why not jump right into it?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
The first topic is we got some voicemails. They were kind of interesting. We asked people to ask us some questions, and you can find the voicemails and actually hear them. It's kind of crazy. If I play it right now, the people at the broadcast will be able to hear it, but you two won't, and so it's kind of weird. We can't really talk about it. So they're already posted at thundercats.com/voicemail. That's two Fs for voicemail. And You can listen to them there, and they're labeled.
That sounds painful, sir.
Well, it kind of is, but yeah, it's worth it. But the first,
you're using your abs to do that sound. Whatever.
I am. You're right. Are you spying on me? Did I leave the webcam on?
I have. Look at the ceiling.
Uh-oh.
There's a kitty. Ah! Josh goes into the hospital. How did you do this, sir? I was pronouncing voice back.
It does hurt. But our first question comes from one of our most rabid fans, John Bridehoft, and he asks, when will Steven Perez admit he is a bunny? Or bunny. I should say. So let's discuss that.
You know, this is practically a cold case, and I think it's time for it to be, you know, fully addressed here.
I have two questions. What is Mr. Stephen Perez's middle name? Does anyone know?
No.
It's Stephen Anthony Perez. Now, can I suggest, earlier in the week I discovered something, that Stephen Perez is an anagram for Ever Zen Pets. And what is a Zen pet? A bunny.
Hmm.
Now, can and do I need to drop another piece of evidence? Another Please. Anagram for Stephen Anthony Perez is Easter. And what's the most famous part of Easter?
Easter bunny. Bunny.
Sir, I tell you, Stephen, with all the love in my heart, embrace the bunny. You need to stop denying it. Embrace your inner bunny.
It's funny how he's saying bunny. Bunny. Okay. Well, that pretty much, I think that answers that. Thank you for the question, John. The other voicemail, another voicemail we got wasn't really a question. It was some dude sounding kind of creepy and singing a song like it was drunk dialing. You can go listen to it and see who it is, and I actually don't know. So there's that. And maybe we'll put it in the actual podcast. But the next voicemail. P, as in Patricia, as in, you know, P with the hearts in around her. Everybody loves P. She asked about the if a unicorn loses its horn, or whatever you call the horn on the head.
I think it's the horn.
Yeah. Do they become ponies? No. What do they become if a unicorn loses a horn? Discuss. More
I
here.
Did, I'll come in second. It's your turn. Your turn, Micah.
Well, I mean, isn't a horn like isn't just like a fingernail? Isn't it just kind of dead weight anyway? It's not really part of the integral animal itself. Am I way off here?
No, I think that's kind of like what like antlers or horns on other existing beings. Not fantastical beings.
Unicorns equally exist somehow, but I think a rhinoceros, for instance, it's equivalent to kind of hair or fingernails or something that you can trim. So would it grow back? I guess that's the first question.
Well, unicorn is actually Latin for unus, meaning one, and cornu, meaning horn. So if you were to remove its horn, it would then become sans cornus.
Santa corn. It's Santa. Santa corn.
And no one likes being without corn.
Yeah.
I mean, so well, it literally becomes a cob.
Cob.
Because something without corn would be a cob. Because its kernels are gone.
You took the kernel off and now it's just a cob. Okay.
So the unicorn is actually kernels, which is like in the military. So unicorns are actually part of a big military conspiracy and a secret weapon to take over the world. So what I'm saying is I'm just making shit up as I go along.
Well, isn't that what we do every week? Oh!
Is Pegasus part of like the airborne, you know,
yes,
like division or?
Yeah, airborne division. 51st Airborne reporting, sir. Pegasus, sir.
Do unicorns need shoes? Like horseshoes?
No, do Pegasus...
No.
Does Pegasus need shoes?
Well, no, it... I think...
Well, he does land every now and then.
I think they develop past that. They play horseshoes, but they don't wear them anymore.
Well,
it's sort of recreational now.
It'll make for some tender landings. I mean, you got to land sometime, right?
Can I also drop a little bit more of some Wikipedia fun on this discussion?
Please.
Though the modern popular image of the unicorn is sometimes that of a horse, differing only in the horn on its forehead, the traditional unicorn has also been has a billy goat's beard, a lion's tail, and cloven hooves. Those distinguish it from a horse.
So the beard. I heard beard in there.
Indeed, it has a Billy Goat's beard. So I could very well be. I'm going to stop right there because I could have got into not safe for work territory. Stop it. Put a lock on it. Put it back in the cupboard. Think about me, beards, horns. Let's just stop it. Put it away.
Just stop, drop, and roll. Next question is from Angry Keyboarder Scott. He asks, is there some sort of a wiki or a listing of our podcast episodes that say what guest has been on when and so forth for each episode? Well, the answer quickly, I guess, is yes and no. I mean, yes, it's already on our website, thundercast.com, but it's not exactly a very nice little list. It's just a, you know, WordPress blog, and it has categories. And if you click on episodes, then you pretty much see a list of all the episodes, and you scroll, look. Nothing really easy to use, I guess. So all you scripting junk people out there, if you have any suggestions or want to donate your services to, you know, an idea towards that end, making the website a little more useful, or making a separate, completely separate page out of a wiki, whatever, please let us know. Thundercats@gmail.com. Two Fs.
If we could get into Wikipedia, oh, tell you what.
Well, I mean,
that would be
why not, but, right? I mean, you know, that's what everybody's asking.
Speaking of Wikipedia, wasn't it in the news? I don't know, a day, two days ago, about that policy changing for that all pages are not open now. That there certain a certain class of editors on Wikipedia now have a lot more exclusivity to updates. They always could lock down certain hot topics, but something changed. Does anyone in the chat room know what I'm talking about? It was seemed semi controversial, but
yeah, I
haven't seen many people talk about it.
I do not know.
Oh. Anyway, sorry.
You thread killer.
There is a job for the Funder audience. Get us a Wikipedia page. Because we can create it, but they'll just go, and they need more people to go, nah, and we're like, woohoo.
Pretty much. Just like that.
Yeah.
So thanks, you know, everybody, for thanks everybody for sending us voicemails, or voicemails. And you can reach us at area code 682-233-2287. That's 682-2FFCATS. Woohoo! Send it in.
There we go.
All right.
Awesome.
First story of the day is about Rasheen. Everybody knows Rasheen. Ra.
Yo, Rasheen.
Abs of Ra. He got engaged. And there was an engagement meme going on, and I think we talked about it last week, too, but that was awesome. But here's the link to the post. Gotta love how he put it. I liked it, so I put a ring on it. Sing it. He liked it, so he put a ring on it. And he liked it, so he put a ring on it.
Excuse me, I just gotta run up the wall.
And Rasheen has been with us in the chat room this whole time, so he's like, what the hell?
First ever guest on Thundercats.
That's right. He was our first guest on episode 2. Check it out. And once we get the wiki up, you'll be able to see that real fast. Boom.
Yeah. Yes. And he was very gracious on that episode because a little bit of secret sauce, we actually did episode 1 and 2 backwards.
Secret sauce. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Secret.
Sorry for spilling the secret sauce.
Funder secret. Yes. So congrats, Ra. And we wish you the best. All happiness and junk. And we mean that in a good way, of course.
And do you think at the wedding he'll be wearing a suit, tie, but no shirt?
Nice. Tie and no shirt. That's classy.
It's a nice day for a shirtless wedding.
Okay, let's just say out of the four of us, he's the only one who can really actually do that.
Boy, well, I can't speak for Micah.
Yeah.
He hasn't really posted much from the neck down.
You can speak for
But yeah. That's funny.
Very nice.
So, go ahead.
I was also going to throw in, we had an Akiva sighting.
Yes.
As the next story.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this is actually a link in the chat room, is a post to Akiva's post about said featuring in a photo of, lost words in English sentences. Yes, it's true. The photos of me, Audrey, and Rochelle on MSDN tried to avoid cameras at GnomeDex, but I always knew this was about, I had to be realistic about it. I was kind of prepared for this. So there is a photograph on MSDN, which I have no idea what MSDN is.
Microsoft.
I suspect.
DN.
Microsoft Developer Network.
There you go.
There you go.
Yep.
And it's a photo of three people, Rochelle, Audrey, and someone sitting at a desk.
And now, not just any desk, a Surface.
A Microsoft Surface, which is awesome. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I have a little theory about that, but I'll just drop that after I do this. Is that Akiva? There's no name tag, no accreditation. The tagline says, baby photo from Futile Boy. So is it actually him? Let's move on to something else.
All right. So next topic is, I guess every now and then his name comes up, Mr. Robert Scoble. He claimed in a post the other day that friend feed interaction is down ever since the merger / deal or with Facebook, whatever it's called, purchase of. Mm. What say you, Micah?
You know what? I've seen some good, balanced comments on this that basically boil down to, for some people, it's slowed down and they notice it. And for other people, it's cruising along or it's even better than ever. And I wish I could point you right to the post, but, if you're here for the strictly the news RSS feeds, and stuff happening around that, then maybe it's a little different, and it's also the time of year, perhaps.
Yep.
And for other people who interact a lot and who have built connections with the people more than the content, and the content gets mixed in there as well, of course. But there's no big change except for maybe I know for myself, just to get all touchy feely, there was a big mental break that happened when the news came out. There was the initial shock, but I think I was shocked less in the first week than I was the second and the third week when it started, I started having that feeling that things were coming kind of unwinding on the site, and maybe it was just what I was going through, but, I was kind of like, well, the internet's bigger than friend feed, and what am I doing that maybe can stretch out? And so I started on the group blog that Tina started and, dipping into Posterous and some things that I'd kind of, heard about and not even signed up for. So, it's kind of the new era. And so I can understand how people expect things to be different. So they see that it's different. They feel different, whether the actual numbers go up and down. I don't know.
And Johnny,
I could go for a little bit of a rant here. So do you want to go first, sir?
Sure. I don't read too much into it. I mean, from probably the first episode, we probably talked about Skull. I mean, he's not your typical social media user. I mean, he's the Uber user of pretty much all the stuff out there, right? I mean, no matter what he joins, there's going to be like 10 times as many people following him than an average user or even a power user. And so that's just that being said, that given, so to speak, it's not really fair to compare him to the rest of the service, you know? And so I don't really read too much into it. You know, he can say that he's noticed a difference on his feed. And as long as people understand that that's not typical for everybody else, you know, like Johnny, I know you said that you might get into this yourself, that you actually saw an increase, not a decline in interaction. And, I may have seen the same thing too. It's always been an increase ever since I started for me. You know, it's always been increasing. Yeah. And I think I may have commented on Scoble's post that it depends on who you're subscribed to. Because he had this other post yesterday that he reached 30,000 comments, which, by the way, congratulations. And then I made sure that everybody understood that they were, like, floored about 30,000, that they thought that he was, like, that was the highest ever in friend feed ever. And so I was like, well, you know, there's people here that have been here for quite a while that have many more comments than that. And I tried to point a few out, like Robert Patton. You had, who else did I put? I put Dustin Perez himself who's here, and you got, Tina and I think I mentioned those three, and then there's quite a few others, but, not that it's really a contest. It's just that, you know, to me, it said that there's people following Scoble that are not necessarily following, a better, I don't know, not a better, just a more variety of people. On friend feed?
Diverse,
yeah. It's not as diverse as it could be. And it's nobody's fault. It's just kind of just happened, probably. You know, it's just how it is. And I'm not blaming Scoble for anything. It's just we're just making observations here. So that's my take on it, really. So we'll let Mr. Ranty Pants have his say here.
Hmm. Well, first of all, caveat around this whole thing, got nothing to do with Robert personally or per se. This is more. This is a bigger topic than just Robert. The post that he made about was that he didn't get as many likes or comments about a post. It was actually about Yelp. I think there's a new application for the iPhone for Yelp. My first problem with that is I can't get Yelp in Australia, and it's an iPhone app, so I'm not necessarily going to read it. So it just happened on this one post. But it sort of goes to a bigger thing that it's I've seen a lot of discussion earlier in the week about people saying that RSS is dead, that it's just like who's using Google Reader anymore or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that attention has been paid to that, but I don't think anyone's actually paid attention to what is actually being fed into the RSS. Because it seems to be just regurgitation of the same stories, the same type of stories, like the latest Twitter study that only had five or ten people in it. Everyone's been addressing like the communication service is dead without actually addressing the content that's going into it. So that's the first part. The second part is that you can get too much tech reporting, I think. I mean, if it's tech 24 hours a day, I know that I get glossed over because, like, I watch the news at home, but I don't watch it 24/7. For some people, that's okay, but after a while, early on in Friend Feed, it was sort of that was really the only thing we had to look at. So it was the tech news was dominant because that was the main thing being fed in. But now that it's grown into a more social side of things, I particularly want to know more about people than I do necessarily about technology. And I think Facebook buying them, I think that may have had more of an effect on who's feeding in, because Facebook has the appearance of being a more social thing as opposed to a straight-laced technology place. So that might have scared a few people off. And plus, when it happened, Robert sort of made some noises about the fact that okay, he's moving on from RSS. So moving on from friend feed, so maybe a few people just left thinking, okay, well, it's dead. And also, too, in the weeks that happened, Facebook got some new features, Google Reader got some new features, all these other features came out, all these other things came out. So everyone sort of, all the people who used the cutting-edge technologies to get the cutting-edge news have probably gone to other places to get that type of news because of the perception that FriendFeed was dying. Now, this could actually be a really, really positive thing. Facebook and Twitter were popular with the bleeding edge technologists, but they made it big when they sort of shrugged that and went to a more social type of thing. Now, we, as much as we say, oh, we hate the celebrities coming in and stuff like that, you have to admit that when a service goes mainstream, it's off the back of social, not necessarily technology or the early adopters. So this could be, as I've coined the phrase, haha, Lewis Gray, I beat you to it.
Good luck with that.
Oh, thank you for that link, by the way, Josh.
You bet. You got it.
It could be like a great social flush of 2009 where the people who are here to literally share technology and get responses from technology and sort of build the brand that way, they sort of leave because the punch of being in this new space is gone. And that peters away and we get to concentrate more on the social aspect. So rather than reading something simply because someone with a respected name tells me I should read it, I read it because my friend told me to read it. And over the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've got more interaction on my feed. Now, this isn't just raw numbers interaction, which I rarely pay attention to anyway. But the quality of the interaction I'm having, like I think everyone knows Melissa Doyle on she's from Toowoomba. She her and I, we've had some really good discussions and sharing some really things and really made a connection over the past like week. And the thing is, with everything else flowing into FriendFeed, and particularly since real time has switched on, we sort of lost the period and the time to actually make personal connections. Remember before it was real time, we had to hit F5. The social was just the glue that held the thing together. Now everyone, when real time came in, everyone was saying like, oh, this is sort of killing the interaction now because everything's moving so fast. We don't have time to sort of be social. And now that sort of the technology is losing its sort of mojo and its attention seeking, I've sort of got the feeling that it's getting back to the social that we have when we used to have to hit F5. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, I still use F5, actually, even though I leave real time on. It's
weird. when it was the only thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no live comment streams coming in.
Yeah. So you refresh the page and then you got that page to think about, consider, interact on. It wasn't like quick before something else comes up. So I think, while I admit Robert on that post at that time when he posted it, that extra thing, yes, there wasn't that many comments on it. There's heaps of comments on it now, but it goes back to content. Maybe some people aren't interested in it anymore and maybe it wasn't hit to the right target audience. So, because for me, I wasn't going to even consider it because I can't get Yelp in Australia. So why would I even read or like a story about Yelp?
Good point. Yep. Well, I'm in the US and I don't care.
and that was what irked me. I was a little bit reactionary, but I pulled it back as best I could. What irked me was the content wasn't considered. It was simply just a declaration that the interaction had dropped. It was never the question was never asked, well, maybe it's what the story was about.
Good point. Okay. Like maybe it was little too soon for him to declare that, so to speak. You know, it's like you go like, oh, gee, it's all changed. No, give it some time.
Well, but. And this is totally expected because that's how Robert, that's his MO. That's how he works, right?
True, true.
he says something controversial to test the waters of the real the people who follow his introspection of using these services like FriendFeed, what their reaction is, and he uses that to gauge what's going on or what's going to be, you know, happening soon. So it's as much to create the answers as opposed to declare what the answers are.
Yeah.
Even though it's his own way of doing it. But
okay. And also too, people like that who not necessarily Robert, but people who are known for finding the next big thing quite often have to back up their statements by making a declaration that the last big thing that they found, declaring it dead. So like it's when you find the next cool place to hang out at, you always say to your friends, oh, I don't hang out there anymore because that's crap. It's you sold out, man. You went too commercial.
So go ahead.
I was saying hopefully the flush is imminent and friend feed. Well, his friend feed isn't my friend feed, isn't your friend feed. It's a happy place.
Yeah, how dare those people sell out and go to commercial? So let's go to commercial. Have you heard about Moo cards?
Why no, Josh? Why don't you tell us?
Well, Moo cards are actually better than just any kind of business card. You can get a regular business card size, or you can get the mini cards. Moo.com, or actually, if you will click through on the link that we'll put in the chat room, Johnny, please post the link. If you'll click through on that link, it will do its thing and give us a little commission on if you buy something. So if you want to support the Thundercats and you happen to want Moo cards, well, then we're just, you know, lining up the stars for you. And we hope that you'll give them a shout, give them a chance. You can connect your Facebook and Flickr pictures, all your photos that you already have uploaded at those places. You can connect those accounts to your account that you can create at Moo.com. Have all those photos. They have a really good interface for choosing which photos you want printed on what. And just so you know, it's one of those places where you can get full color, thick, awesome quality business cards for quite a low price. For instance, you can get 100 mini Moo cards for about $20. That doesn't just mean one photo printed 100 times with, you know, your name and number on it. We're talking you could choose 100 unique photos, which linking your Flickr account makes that a lot easier, by the way. And it's just really amazing. So if you get a chance, please click through on our link there and enjoy your Moo cards. We've had a few people already take advantage of that, and we appreciate your support, and we'd love to hear back from you on how much you enjoy your Moo cards. So that is Moo cards for you.
Okay, hang on. Ready? Get your stuff from Moo cards.
Moo cards.
Nice.
That's our little jingle.
Hey, I have a question on... That's an awesome jingle. Josh, I have a question on the Moo.
Yeah.
Do you know what they're shipping outside the U.S. is like?
I don't, but
Johnny does.
The last set I got was actually pretty good. I think it was only like $10, $15, if that. Maybe even $7 or $8, actually. But very reasonable, yeah. But the last slot I got sent was from the UK, so that might be different from the States. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that that it's actually pretty reasonable. Get your stuff from Moo Cards.
Moo Cards. Tell us about your scripting and junk and all the coding that you do. Where'd that come from? You just go to school and want to build stuff?
Yeah, programming in general. I mean, I grew up with a little, you know, Apple II plus machine in our house. My dad is a college instructor, a college professor, and he actually teaches computer related courses. And so we had some of that that personal, you know, that PC personal computer technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before most of the people in our neighborhood, that kind of thing. So I've been around a long time, but I never really got into programming at a young age, which would have been cool as I think about it now. But whatever, that's what happens.
Okay.
So right around in the early 90s, I started after university, I did some work doing some graphic design, and I kind of did a side project, this kind of database thing. And I just kind of, I realized that that's what I like doing even more than, fiddling the Photoshop buttons all day, which is fun too.
Oh yeah.
But, I live and breathe that, just as much, but the programming was solving problems by building stuff, and engineering stuff is just fun. And I can sit and do it for hours, and programmers can tell you this till you fall asleep, but it's a labor of love that, yeah, exactly. So that's how I got into programming. And then on FriendFeed, I don't know. I can't remember even what script I started with. It might've been inserting an image into a comment, taking JPEG links and turning them into images in the comments. I think that was one of my first ones.
Nice.
I got a real jolt out of that. It was something I wanted, and then, I thought other people might like it. And then I just got hooked. And so I just kept going. The feedback from different friend feeders, was, they would spring all these ideas like, oh, what if it could do that? Or could you just tweak it a little bit that way? Or wouldn't that be cool? And then I go, yeah. And then 5 hours later, I'd come up with the next version or some other script. And it just kind of swept me away. So that's the basic story.
Okay, don't be shy, everybody. This is the guy who created the FF Translate. What's it called?
I've branded. I don't know what that is. I branded all.
I can tell you, but it's a podcast.
We don't have the clean tag, but we'll go for semi. So I call all of those things now the translatorize.com is where the hub is for all that. Yeah. So, but FriendFeed Translate was the first script, and then I ported it to Facebook Next, and then I made a version that worked for Twitter and then Identica. So we've got four different social networks that use the same basic technology that I built for FriendFeed,
which we are all very grateful for. I've had a couple conversations on FriendFeed with people who do not speak English, and it's been really cool because I'll try to translate. Mm-hmm. I try to be careful and not go overboard because you never know what kind of social cultural boundaries you're going to overstep with, the words that you choose and how they get translated, whether they're correct or not, in the right context. But
right.
But I held my own for a little while on a couple of posts, and it was fun. And you want to interact more internationally. Before you see stuff that's either Farsi or Japanese, you're like, I have zero idea what they're talking about, because if you can't read,
right,
you just don't know. At least things in Latin based languages, you can kind of guess, in certain words, stupid,
exactly
that must be stupid, but, with your translation utility, which taps, I believe, into Google's translation engine,
right,
will actually translate it into English or whatever language you wish. And if anybody's listening to this, they're probably English speaking or at least understand English. And so, podcast translation, that's probably farther in the future, but we'll stick with English for now.
Yeah, on the fly translation through,
that would be cool.
Ustream.
Because I would love for the Thundercast to be able to reach all the other people that can't speak English.
It's a new plugin for Google Voice and Google Talk. It's called Google Tongue.
Google Tongue.
It was either Google Tongue or Google Throat, and they went with Google Tongue.
Nice.
Yeah, you better go register that domain now. Josh, I liked your point you said a minute ago about that even if you get a little bit of an idea of the gist of what's being said, it really breaks into something.
Mm-hmm.
Just that little bit. And, I was just thinking when you were saying that, that little bit of understanding in the translation, some of the translations I've seen using the scripts, you know, I get as much sense out of that as some people who apparently write in English and tweet 140 characters.
Right.
Honestly, I, you know, some of this stuff is in my language apparently, and you know, it's completely opaque.
I was so, Bobby farmed.
Be truthful, it's my post, isn't it?
I wasn't going to say something, but yeah, Johnny. No, it's. I mean, that's why I love FriendFeed, because when I go back to Twitter, Twitter's great for what it does, and people have written more than enough about Twitter. But what I like, you know, being over in FriendFeed and knowing the difference is that you don't have to compact everything. You don't have to think in those soundbite kind of fragments.
You don't have to dumb it down.
Right. And it's not always a, you know, it depends on what you're trying to get across. Sometimes it's just a phrase and a link, and that's fine. But it's so much more conversation, obviously, I mean, anyone here understands that, happens in these comment threads. And, you know, you can really build, you know, connections with people where you understand where they're coming from on the next thread, because of sometimes lengthy conversations you've had on other ones. So that makes FriendFeed an awesome place. Because I know what people are, I know what they're thinking even, you know, before they comment or just after they comment and they don't say much. And I know what they're thinking about the post. It's just, you hang around long enough. So anyway, but translation, it's just something that sort of happened. I never, you know, I've always been interested in language, but it's just sort of happened organically. Actually, I think Simon? The Simon who did the mosaic, came up with the mosaic
Simon
idea.
Simon Wicks.
Photos, yeah. Simon Wicks, thank you. Go Simon. He's awesome. I think he may have asked me when I did one of the early versions of the translation script, he asked me something that prompted me to think, oh, it could probably go from any language to any language kind of thing. Dynamically, because I didn't know Google's API could do that. So, like, not knowing the source language. So it just sort of exploded from there.
Very cool. I think there were a couple of people in the chat room that didn't realize that you were the same Micah that had done all this awesome stuff. And so I wanted to make sure that we made that connection for everybody. So
that's cool. I mean, I'm just as happy being known as the guy who won Risk last night, but that's great.
Risk, I meant to say earlier, but Risk is the first place I learned how to say Kamchatka.
Yes.
It's the gateway. That's where Sarah Palin can see from her house, I think.
Exactly. Asia's hard to protect. Let me just tell you that.
Yep. I gotta get that game.
So
again.
Yeah. So that. What's that?
I said I gotta get that game again because I don't have it anymore. That was childhood.
Oh
game.
Yeah.
I was
gotta
lost,
do it.
Though.
Your kids are how old's your oldest?
My oldest Josh, is old's your oldest? My oldest is 12.
Okay. Do you play a lot of games with your kids, or are they not that into it?
They play. We play Stratego and other stuff like that. We just haven't gotten into Risk yet. I don't know. Have you ever played Stratego? That's an awesome, awesome game.
I have not in a long time, but
yeah, that was good times. They changed it up. It used to be like, you know, military, you know, the general and the scouts and all that, and now it's like medieval and like you got like a yeti going and crushing people and exploding.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Greenpeace activist or something.
No. Nope. But game's good. So we're kind of over time right now, but we want to do our picks. So maybe we should get into our picks. Mm. Can we do that?
Let's do that.
So Johnny, will you go first?
Okay, cool. All right. My pick is a post by Live for Soccer, who's now renamed Live for Emma, and that sort of goes to what this is about. For the past, I think, maybe 40 or 50 days, I believe he is traveling to London to see Emma. So this is sort of a romance that's blossomed over friend fee. And rather than just saying, oh, this many days to go, he actually bookmarks photos on Flickr for every day. So he's been counting down and we've been following this. And this post is zero. So I just checked his Twitter stream, and about 10 minutes ago, he literally got on the plane to fly to Heathrow. So,
wow.
So it's kind of funny because you don't notice it for a couple of days, and then it's like it went from 40 to like 28. I'm like, whoa, that went quick, and he's just been counting down, and really, really love those two guys and wish them best of luck, and it's good to have a little bit of love. All you need is love. Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
So,
very cool.
Very exciting.
Cool.
So,
love is in the international air.
That's very good, sir. Clap that one out.
Yes.
Nice.
So, dun, dun,
good
dun,
luck
dun,
to
dun.
Them. Hope they have a good time and hope they take lots of pics.
Well.
That sounds completely wrong. But they all know what I mean. I hope we see lots of pictures of them enjoying the sightseeing around London.
We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Good luck to them. Godspeed.
Good times. Micah, what do you have a pick for us this week?
When I was collecting up what were some of the things that I thought were interesting, I think most of them were big ones, like Gnome Dex related ones that people have probably seen. So I'm going to pull one out that's a little more maybe people aren't interested if they're not into programming, that kind of thing. But it's a phenomenon that I think anyone can find interesting. There's about a week and a half ago, there was a guy who's a programmer who was pretty much completely anonymous online, who was is a big Ruby programmer. He's big. He was well known in the Ruby community, and he had lots of projects that were open source projects that were out there, and you know, he had a lot of respect in that community. And as of a week and a half ago, he suddenly, all his websites, which he has numerous, and all of his projects disappeared overnight. He just completely vanished. And he basically, I think Scoble called it digital suicide or something like that, when people, you know, announce they're going off feed and then they have an argument and then whatever. Whatever you call it, the complete disappearance was kind of extreme and really interesting from a point of view of, well, what does that mean? Like, you know, what if everything I ever did online suddenly was gone? What if I wanted it to be gone? It just kind of spun my mind. So I'm going to put the link here to somebody who wrote a eulogy for this guy's sort of digital disappearance, which I think you might find interesting. So check that out.
John Resick.
Yeah, John Resick is the guy behind the jQuery project, which if anyone does web programming, they probably have heard of jQuery. And so he knew of this guy, and he wrote this blog post about about his impact. So there you go. Okay. I'm not even that big of a Ruby guy, but I still found the whole thing quite interesting.
Very interesting.
Wow. So is there any news where he's gone or what he's done, or he's just disappeared?
That's the thing is I haven't read anything where he popped up and said, just kidding, or this is why. Like, there was no explanation after the fact. There were some last kind of, I don't know if they were in IRC. There were something was maybe on his Twitter feed. He said something that was kind of impending. About software that he writes or anyone writes is out of date within 6 months and probably replaced within a year. And it was kind of a maybe a hint that he was done with that part of his life because he wanted to spend time in some other way. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, I'm not too sure about I'm not all scripting junk, as you know, but stuff like the stuff he writes, would he have to support it and keep up grading it and stuff like that? So is that sort of part of the culture of open source, is if you write something like that, you have to maintain it and look after it?
You know, that's a good question or a good topic. One interesting thing that I thought about was I read somebody say that he had gotten a lot of flack or complainers or whatever about some of his software, and you know, anyone who's created stuff and then had other people just throw stuff at it and complain about it and have no idea how hard it is to make it or make changes to it. It's really easy to let that, take you down. Like you're contributing it in an open way, and yet people are complaining, and the complainers are out there. So that's reality. Cling to the people who back you up or who say, I thank you for using this. I get a lot out of it, or give constructive criticism. And, so maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know.
Well,
Go ahead, John.
It's like when someone gives up golf, they sell their golf clubs because they don't want the clubs sitting in their garage reminding them of the fact that they don't play golf anymore. Particularly if the reason they gave it up was not happy.
Exactly. It's there's something to say about you make a decision and then you decide I'm not turning back. I don't need all this stuff, the baggage with it. Now in this case, because his stuff was open source, because you asked about that, there is an element of, well, he's the guy that knows it the best and can make changes to it and improve it the quickest. But the thing is, because he hosted it on a service, in this case, the Git-based one, GitHub.
Yep.
There are dozens or more people who have a copy of his project that can redistribute it out to the net, or actually do host it back out. And so it really doesn't fully disappear. It's just the canonical one, kind of the official one, is gone.
There's no connection to him. So if there is an issue, he's not a person that can be contacted for it. It's now truly open source because the person who creates it no longer has ownership over it.
Hey, that's a good way to look at it. There you go. Yeah.
Cool.
I've got to get all scripting junk seriously, hey.
Hey. You're all right, man. You're all right. Just the way you are. Don't go changing. Just to please me.
Josh Haley, ladies and gentlemen, tip your waiters.
Woo-hoo-ho. My turn for a pick of the week. And my pick of the week has to do with traffic. Not the band, but when you're stuck in traffic in a car.
And yes, because that's immediately what I thought of.
You never know. Traffic's a pretty badass band, dude. Check it out. But anyway, AJ Batak, one of our favorite friend feeders, posted this, and it's a video that takes, about 10 minutes or so to watch. It's worth it. Steve Winwood, yeah, that's right. He was in there too. If you take the time to watch this video, you will understand what could happen if everybody just chilled the hell out on the roads. I mean, when you're driving, it's like everybody wants to go ooch, ooch, ooch and stay right behind the car in front of them so that nobody cheats and cuts in line in front of them. Well, what this is it completely turns the whole idea upside down and says, you know what? Everybody can go faster in your lane and keep everything going, flowing, if you let people cut in front of you at certain times. And he'll explain it to you in the video, but it's basically a whole new approach to driving, and one person can make this huge difference and actually open it up for everybody else. And in fact, it's kind of it kind of relies on at least a few people you know, doing the statistics on how people drive. It relies on a few people being total dicks and pulling up in front of everybody else, you know, to get into that one crowded lane. And so he's found a way to use that to everyone's advantage, but there's a couple tricks to it, and it's kind of hard to explain. So just watch the video. But I thought that was so freaking cool that I had to make that my pick.
Well, we have that law in Australia that if you're on a highway or any road who's I think it's Queensland only, sorry, any road that speed limit is above 90 kilometers per hour, you have to let the person merging in merge. So if I'm driving down the highway and someone's coming into the merging lane off like the service road, if they're in front of me, I have to let them in. And if we're in traffic, it has to go on the highway service road, on the highway service road. So it literally has to slot together. It's the rules. And if someone is a dick and doesn't let anyone in, not only is it illegal, but the court of public opinion, basically everyone yells at them and goes, look, mate, you're an absolute dipshit.
Right, right. So everybody gets mad at them. So there's a good vibe. Yeah. Most of the people are on board with that plan, and it seems to be working most of the time, right?
Well, it works on the thing. Well, if you're going the speed limit and you're both doing 100 kilometers per hour, which is I think 60 miles per hour in your speed.
Okay.
If you're going that fast, it's probably best that both of you know the same rule and follow the same principle, because going that fast, if one of you misunderstands or decides to be a dick, both of you are probably going to come out worse for wear. So now that everyone knows and everyone's on the understanding, it sort of flows better. But that also goes to that when you're actually in traffic situations, not only it may delay you half a second on the actual on the highway, but you're also freeing up the side street as well. So you're not making all that traffic bank back. And when everyone indicates in Australia, they always stick their hand up and say thank you when they get led into the lane. Yeah. So it's sort of like we can all be dicks if we really want to, but we're not going to get there any faster.
It's amazing how people think. You know, I don't know if I told you a while back that I read this book or listened to it on tape anyway, Predictable Irrationality or Predictably Irrational. Great book, by the way. And it kind of goes into things like this where people will make like the most irrational decision when they haven't really thought out, you know, the consequences of the decision, like with the, you know, taking turns, like the zipper thing you're talking about, Johnny. If both people would just go, you know, think it through and go like, you know, if we cooperate and then everything will flow smoothly and I don't have to try to ooch, ooch, ooch and be first. Right. Cause I mean, we're talking about a difference of a few seconds. And same thing with like people that drive around and around and around at the front of a store in a parking lot looking for a spot when there's tons of parking just feet away. If they get off their lazy asses, and I'm a big guy, so you know I have my own set of laziness, but I'm just saying, if you would just park a few spaces down and walk, it doesn't make it. I mean, okay, you park in front of a Sam's Club, right? This big warehouse of like food where you're going to be walking like half a mile just in the store. Why can't you park farther away from the door just to get into the door? I mean, you're already doing all this walking. It makes zero sense.
My father and I both subscribe to the Wally World way of parking, that you park closer to the exit so you can get out and avoid the traffic.
That's another strategy. Or park close, you know, park where there's a bunch of parking and park close to one of those cart return places so that when you take your cart out, you just pop it into there, get in your car and go.
Mm.
That's my advice for free on Thundercats.
If you have a car like Jason Hubau, you just take it in the store with you. There's no problem.
Does Jason have a smart car?
He does. I saw it in person.
He does? Yeah.
Smart cars are awesome.
I wouldn't mind one, dude, but I would probably just spend all the time doing donuts in it. seriously.
Just going around and around
and trying to flip it. I'd install roll bars and wear a helmet. And literally try to flip that biatch because it looks like it needs to flip and roll and just like it would probably land back on its feet and keep going. That would be so much fun.
I remember early on when they first brought out the smart car, there was something where you could actually change the color of the panels on the doors like really easily. Is that
really?
There was something in Europe where you can just with a few Allen keys, you can basically pop off the inserts and just change the colors as much as you like.
Actually, Jason was telling me whenever we had like lunch this one time. He lives here in Southern Texas. He was thinking about maybe replacing at least his door with one that actually goes up, like the DeLorean.
Suicide doors.
One of those, you know, just and he says that's not like that big of a deal to do. It's like you see a couple bolts and you're done. So it's, I mean, I checked that car out. It looks like a toy, you know. And yet, you could fit in there and actually have gas pedal and brake pedal and steering wheel. So, amazing. You're just amazing.
Well, that's what I need, because I just got my car fixed yesterday. I needed new brakes. $400 Australian. It's about $370 US to get new brakes on my car.
Ouch.
Yeah. Brakes hurt.
But I don't mind paying that, because that's the thing that makes me go stop.
True. You kind of got to have it, especially when you got the little one.
Very much so.
Yeah. Georgia would not be she would not approve if you didn't have brakes.
That's the one that makes Rachel go stop.
Johnny, your brake thing is just reminding me. I heard this story for the first time from my own father when we were in California, that one of the way back in the Stone Ages when he had one of his first cars. The feet through the floor. He had someone gave him this car. He got a good deal. Basically, they gave it to him because, there's a problem with the starter or something. So you'd have to roll start it. So he could only park it on the top of a hill, and that is how he lived with this car. He only went places where it was on a hill, so he could roll down to start it up to get it going again. I'm like, Dad, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I just lived like that for a while. Amazing.
I can actually clutch start my car in reverse, which is handy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably not good for the car.
I'm thinking not.
But the two or three times I've really needed it, I've been able to do the get it started backwards.
Oh, that's what she said.
That's very good.
Well done, sir. Well done. And the first of the episode, my. Wow.
But I've also done the Starsky and Hutch where I've let it roll and then turned the wheel and made it turn around. Not in the like the way, but like the sort of the gentle like and then rolled it down the hill and you drive and you turn the wheel and your car would go and point the right way and you go.
Nice.
Is it kind of like drifting? Is that what you're talking about?
Similar, but not the drifting part. more the turning around part. Well,
I'm thinking of a color. Orange. It's orange, but it's not orange. It's more blue.
It's more tangerine.
Yeah. Jeez. You're like my kid. Just everything is opposite. You know, it is, but it isn't.
Well, it's like the drifting in that you're turning around and doing the skiddy thing, but not the skiddy thing.
Okay.
More the turning around bit.
I think that's called turning. Fast and Furious 2, Tokyo Turn.
Parallel parking. Boom.
Oh.
It's the awesome movie without the drift.
It's just guys sensibly driving around a course.
You're like, man.
It's just great.
We're going
it's just
drifting
great dialogue.
Tonight.
That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You want to go drifting tonight? Yeah, man. Except one catch, man. We can't be drifting. We have to be turning. Okay, man.
Nice.
Oh, jeez.
You know the little mini Indy cars that you pay $10 and you drive it around for 5 minutes?
Go-karts?
Yeah, go-karts, yeah. They had it wasn't a traditional go-kart track, but it existed in Anaheim somewhere, across the highway from Disneyland, and it was called Slick Track. I don't know if anyone in the chat room has any idea what I'm talking about, but the whole idea was it was a smooth oval surface track, and so in these cars smaller than a typical go-kart even. and you would just drift around the corner and drift around the ends of the course, and that was the whole thing. It's just drifting.
So it's like a skid pad.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It went out of business. I don't know why.
Because, you see, the people don't like the drifty drift. They like the turny turn.
They want, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's time for the moment of win, fellas.
Yes. What shall we win on? Yeah, I can confirm that at least the first three pages of Google image search for secret source with safe search turned off is okay, safe word.
You need some disco music to kind of get in the mood.
Okay, page 5, we're getting into some...
Page 5.
Where's Aiden?
Well, we have two people for... I'm sorry for spilling the secret sauce. Do we have a third?
I'll third it.
Let's do it. Okay, how's everybody doing in the chat room that may or may not still be here? I'm a bug is ready. Amanda is a go. World of Higlet is Aquamarine leader standing by.
I am sitting by.
Molly, are you ready? Aiden, I know you're trying to get a picture loaded. Are you ready? Molly is the lolcat loving woman standing by. Laura is hella cute, and that is the truth. And she is ready. Come on, I got the Kessel Run after this. All right, standing by. You want to count us down?
Okay, in 3, 2, 1, post.
The Linux Penguin? What the hell?
The secret open source?
Oh,
open source. Oh, nice.
Oh, Johnny,
you threw the Australian accent into that one, dude. Open source. Nice. That is epic. What the hell? Amanda. What? The hell?
All right, everybody, now here we go. It's a brand new version of the do-si-do. Just stomp your feet and clap your hands. Come on, everybody, it's the hamster dance. Bouncing time to the beat. Hey, you don't even have to move your feet. Just shake your thing, let me see you move. Now spin around and feel the groove.
Let's try it.
Cool. Well, that puts us to the end of... Whoa, what is that? Holy crap. I'm sorry. One of our old Thundercat pals just had one of his posts from April bumped, Mark Wilson. And he's got... I just saw a bunch of blood flying and splattering, and it's really the Kool-Aid guy going, oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! Well, that was perfect timing. That? Logical Extremes totally wins for bumping that right in time. Okay, let me post a link. Nice. Do you see it? Let me post the link in the chat room for posterity's sake. There you go. Right on, Mark. Or Hobro from another time. Thanks, everybody. And catch you next week on Thundercats. Don't forget about Moo Cards. Give them a shot. Click through the link on our website, thundercats.com. That's 2 F's for awesome. You can reach us at thundercats@gmail.com. Again, 2 F's for awesome. I can be reached at friendfeed.com/Josh Haley.
I'm friendfeed.com/Jay Worthington. And Micah?
I'm Micah Whitman. Micah Whitman, or friendfeed.com/Micah Whitman.
Cool. Well, that puts this episode out of the bag. Thanks again, Micah. Johnny, as always.
Thank you.
Senko.
Good times.
Well, I want to thank you guys, since I still have the microphone, for being such, cool elements of the Friend Feed community, and you know, just week after week doing the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of consistency is what really makes it awesome. So, right on.
There are some weeks when you think, you know, oh, I just want to take a break, you know? And then that's when Johnny smacks me upside the head and says, psh, get off your ass.
I'm not British, and it's ass. Get off your ass.
Oh,
ass,
sorry. No? Arse.
No, I say
arse. Arse. Ass. Get off your ass.
I. Akiva.
Akiva. Get off your ass.
What?